chase these holy fools. It felt cold when they heard the news. Guess I better give my son the shoes. Oh, mama, what's the use? We all saw what they done to you. You fell stairs when they heard the truth. Say, fell stairs when they heard the truth. Oh, mama, we're not alone. Don't know what they do at home. But everybody got a bag of bones. Say, oh, we all got a bag of bones. Oh,
welcome back to the Velvet Studio, Ottawa's Queer Media, and we are talking about how do you navigate if somebody that you love or yourself has a kink.
Well, I think honestly people have such a hard time because they have a lot of guilt and a lot of shame associated with their sexual desires. Mm-hmm. You know, like I said before, we grew up in a society where like shame is really associated with sex. Like, you should not, if you are a sexual being, you shouldn't be, or you know, only vanilla sex is acceptable if you're married, you know. So having a little bit of like different, like, cravings, I should say, or, you know, different flavors of kink or sex is just so shameful. That
it's also considered shameful to feel unfulfilled even though you're dating. That, mm-hmm. that feels like you're greedy, or yes. I don't know, like you're it says something negative about your partner.
Yeah, exactly. And some people think, you know, a lot of literature that I've read is like people assuming that if someone's really kinky or really into like some extreme fetishes, they must have been abused, or they must have been, you know, like, it's just, it always starts from a negative place rather than, no, I'm a healthy, happy human being, and I have these sexual desires, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Something that's actually been used as a very strong counterpoint to that is the fact that the leather fetish is almost exclusively North American. It's very rare outside of North America. You can get some of it in Germany.
For sure.
But broadly speaking, it's a North American thing.
Okay.
Whereas rubber and vinyl is predominantly a UK thing.
Yeah, very.
Mostly England, but it has spilled out into the rest of the UK. But it's like rubber and vinyl is very British. And people have been trying to figure out exactly what it is that caused that. Because if they could figure out why leather is not very big in the UK and why rubber and vinyl is not very big in North America, then they might be able to figure out where does that fetish has come from in the first place. Mm. And something that comes up again and again is actually positive association. That's one of the things that shows up in the literature quite a bit, that Europe just uses more rubber. So, and I'm like, from a very serious point of view, I mean this. Okay. So like the classic raincoat in England is the Macintosh.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it's actually a layer of cloth, a layer of rubber, and then a layer of cloth again. Hmm. When they get wet, they smell like rubber.
Mm.
And in England, it's basically like there's months at a time where it's always raining, but never raining hard.
Okay.
So like if you watch EastEnders, as I never have, and I also didn't drink tea and knit while I was doing it, but anyway, if one were to watch EastEnders...
Coronation Street.
Or Coronation Street.
My favorite.
If you look at the ground, you see puddles, and you see that there is rain. It's just not enough light to pick up the fact that it's raining. And no one has an umbrella.
Hmm.
Because in England, like, if you were to bring rain gear with you, like, you would just constantly be bogged down with crap. So a lot of people just go out in the rain and get wet, but it doesn't rain. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So
it's not torrential. Like, it's not pouring all the time.
So there's a lot of, like, galoshes and, like, overshoes.
Welly boots.
And...
And they're not called welly boots.
They
rubber.
Are.
No, they're called Wellingtons.
Wellingtons.
Well,
yeah.
I've heard of people saying welly boots.
Were they American?
Yeah.
they were British children.
Anyway, so like, there's just a lot of rubber available, present in England, and there's all these theories about like, you know,
even
maybe
the Queen wears like her rubber boots, her hunters.
She does wear wellies. She has adorable galoshes. But anyway, that maybe the first time somebody had sex, it was raining out, and the smell of wet rubber was in the air. And in the States, they use a lot of leather and everything because of the massive beef industry in the Southwest, and so leather is incredibly cheap there. And so having genuine moo cow leather car seats is actually not that expensive in the States.
It's not that uncommon.
It's not that uncommon. So maybe the first time somebody had sex there in the back seat of a car. And so now they have a positive association with it. And so it's not always this gross sort of deviant kind of whatever. Sometimes it does come down to positive association with positive memories. And I think like some of this stuff is leaking out of the literature bit by bit as very few people actually study this. Usually the Dutch, because the Dutch will study anything. It's amazing. one of my favorite studies that the Dutch did is 2 years ago, they put two people into an MRI machine and made them have sex.
Yeah, it was great.
Just to see if they could do it. And accidentally, they learned a lot.
Okay, but how, for a woman, it's kind of easier, but for the male, like, how did he get it up to, like, be able to do it in front of all these people?
I think they gave him, first of all, they got people who are comfortable having sex in public.
Okay, yeah, there you go.
Second, they got really skinny people because a MRI machine is not very large.
No.
And then finally, I think they probably gave him Viagra just to make sure that he could, because you have to take stills.
Yeah.
And it's...
so they had to stay still in that one position?
Yes. And it's...
Wow.
It's you tend to go jelly if you're just sitting there. So they... Yeah, anyway. Anyway, point is... I don't know. This whole deviant concept is starting to weaken.
Good. And I find it's a very American thing, too.
Well, traditionally it was French.
Yeah.
approach.
Because I find, like, I think here in Canada we're a little bit more open-minded about, you know, kink, whereas, you know, it's not so much like if you go to the southern U.S. states.
Now you're making me wish that I had gone on Google Scholar before coming in to see if anybody's actually studied this.
Look it up right now. We've got 10 minutes.
No, we don't have. We're not going to Google
Okay,
random Dutch scholarly articles. related to whatever. I mean, I think a lot of it has to boil down to empowerment, like people feeling empowered to, you know, instead of skulking around on nefarious sites, you know,
nefarious,
take ownership, take a bit of, you know, internal strength. You know, you are beautiful people of Ottawa. Ottawa, you are beautiful people. And, you know, you want to do something with a feather duster. It's not okay with me.
Wait, he's got this thing with the feather duster. Are you sure it doesn't turn you on? Because you've been talking about it a lot.
No. Okay, it was a nice, easy, PG go-to reference that I can make.
It is.
It's friendly for radio.
Yes.
Let's grab some feather dusters and close the door.
Yeah. Anyway, my point is, there's two of us, you know, take a bit of, you know, it does take a lot of courage, but you will be pleasantly surprised at how people would react to that. You know, having the strength of character to kind of be like, you know what, I want you to tie me down, or I want you to tickle me with a feather duster, or. Yeah. You know, for my sexual gratification, I want the lights on tonight.
I think, actually, a lot of it comes down to external expectation as well.
Yeah, for sure. Because there's a lot of pressure.
I specifically mean that in the sense that, like, Ottawa's a very suburban city, which is really weird, because to be a proper suburb, you have to be next to something. So Ottawa has this weird thing where it's a suburb of itself.
Yeah.
And it's hard to explain, but I've lived in many suburbs, unfortunately for me,
same.
it definitely has a very suburban feel to it. Mm. But what's happening here basically is a whole bunch of individuals, 250,000 approximately, to be specific, feel that because they are suburban married people, that there's a way that they're supposed to act, and they're letting those expectations basically rule their lives. Whereas classically, actually, there has been a lot of studies done on army spouses in the 50s.
Hmm.
Not the 50s. We're going to talk about the 40s, the Air Force Regiment during World War II. They would have key parties.
Oh, yes. I remember these.
Right?
Right up until, like, I remember the 70s were like...
They were still happening, yes.
They were still happening, those key parties.
And
can you explain what key parties are?
Oh, is that when you put keys in a bowl?
Yes.
And then you pick the key, and then whatever key you end up with, you have to have sex with that person.
Oh,
yes.
Like a swingers party or something. Yeah.
It was. The goal was to bring the community together, and also,
doesn't bring you together, I don't know.
If one of the husbands dies in war, ooh, the other men who'd had sex with that wife take care of her. Until she's back on her feet.
Aww.
And so, yeah, it's omnigamy is the name for that, where you have one man with multiple partners, but you also have women with multiple partners. So it's like if a man with multiple wives, but then one of your wives also has multiple husbands, that's omnigamy, and it's not common at all.
No.
then you get into omnigamous setups, which is basically sort of like these group who are willing to have sex with each other. Always paired off, though. I don't know if they had big roomfuls. I think they still had a little bit of the expectations. But anyway, point is, I think a lot of the stress and the shame and the feeling that you're deviant just comes down to allowing what you believe society wants affect you in the privacy of your own home.
Absolutely.
The state has no business...
In the bedrooms of the people?
Yeah.
But this is not the state. This is just the masses. The plebs.
Masses,
The plebs have no business.
Because the court system and the police, like, I don't know, whatever. Did you ask permission? Is it okay? Fine, whatever. Have fun at it. Like, I don't care. It's people fearing their neighbors.
Yeah.
Is really what it comes down to.
Well, just fearing judgment. Yeah.
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 You know, speaking of swingers, there's even a swingers, like, club, as in nightclub, in Ottawa.
But it's actual swing dance.
No.
Well, there's also a swing dance.
There is a swing dance.
See, because you told me it was a swing club, and I was expecting, like jazz and, you know, like swing music.
Mm.
And it's a swingers club,
mm-hmm,
which is an entirely different conversation.
Yeah.
I was, needless to say, slightly surprised.
Although Ottawa is a swing mecca in the sense that
apparently it's also a swingers mecca.
Yes.
It's both.
Wow. Do. Anyways, yeah. We hope we have been in some way helpful for all of you folks searching for alternatives to Ashley Madison. Try your wives or husbands. You'll never know what might happen.
Ask each other. Like, talk to each other.
Or your neighbor's wife and husband while they watch. Go for it. Whatever.
Yeah. But, yeah. Anyways, thank you so much for listening. Please go visit our Facebook page, Velvet Studio. And velvetstudio.ca is the website. Which is now back online. We have other episodes from...
From the past.
We have some from the future, but they're not working.
Yeah, they're not working.
And we're playing out with Priory's Put 'Em Up, a interesting video about
oh my God, Luke,
identity.
It's radio. Stop talking about videos.
Well, if you like the song, check it out.
I bring that old-fashioned healing. I don't care if you're a Christian.